What if the CAPM isn't a test? It's your real first project. So tell me, are you leading it or just hoping to pass? You mind if I share a short story with you? I remember when I decided to go after my CAPM. I thought this should be easy. I had the project management experience. I've led teams. I've hit deadlines. I solve problems. You get kind of where I'm going with this. I figured the exam would just confirm what I already knew. I grabbed the study guide, skimmed through a couple pages, and I let it sit on my desk like a decorative trophy. Confidence, you better know it. Overconfidence, most definitely. But then I took a practice exam, and within 90 seconds, I was staring at questions about enterprise environmental factors and work performance data. Like, I opened a textbook written in another language. Therefore, I realized my real-world experience was valuable, but it wasn't enough. The CAPM has its own structure, its own vocabulary, and it demands serious respect. And that brings me to my first trap so many working professionals fall into: assuming experience is enough. Point number one, assuming experience is enough, underestimating the exam's challenges. Many professionals with years on the job experience assume their practical knowledge is a direct substitute for studying. They believe the exam is a simple validation of what they already do. This leads them to underestimate the exam's strict adherence to the PMI framework, and it specifies standard terminologies, which often differs in different company organizations. Why is this important? The CAPM doesn't test how projects work in your specific organization. It tests the PMI framework, the terms, the ideal processes. Relying solely on real-world habits causes conflict with the PMI's best practice questions. Experiment with these actionable tips. I want you to adopt a beginner's mindset. Set aside your real-world experience and approach the PMBOK guide as a single source of truth for the exam. Next point, focus on terminology. Pay close attention to PM's specific definitions in the glossary. What you call a project brief might be actually what is called a project charter in PMI terms. Knowing the difference is definitely crucial. And the last and final one, identify gaps as you study and compare the PMI framework to your own experience and note the differences. These are high-risk areas that require extra focus. Point number two, message. Anytime I say message, if you're new to the episode, this is something I need you to pay attention to. The reason why I need you to pay attention to is we talked about as I gave you some of my actionable steps or tips that you should experiment with, I talked about the PMBOK as being the single source of truth. But that's not all the way clear, because this particular point right here is what really is the driver that allows you to have success. So you say, okay, ED, just get to it. Well, I got you. Ignoring the exam content line, or what we call ECO. Again, ignoring the exam content outline. Some skip the official exam content outline, assuming study guides are enough. The ECO, or what we say is the exam content outline, outlines exactly what the PMI will attest. Why is this important? Not aligning your prep to the exam content outline leads to wasted study time and surprises you on test day. Experiment with these actionable tips. Download the exam content outline first before you even open up the PMBOK guide, before you take any particular practice test or look at anything. Download this first and get the latest CAPM exam content outline from PMI's website. Next one, weight your study plan. Allocate more study hours to domains with the highest percentage of questions. And the last and final one, use a final review checklist before the exam. Go through every task listed on the exam content outline and just be honest with yourself. Honestly assess your confidence. This is the best way to spot and fix any remaining weak spots. Point number three, second guessing answers. Listen, family, if you're still here, which I hope you are, because this is one of those powerful episodes. I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm not telling you something I thought about in a dream. These are the things that exactly happened to me that I wish I seen a video on, or I seen an episode on, or I seen some content on when I was getting my CAPM. And I'm giving you these experiences because I want you to have success on the CAPM exam. Okay, enough of my disclaimer. Point number three, second guessing answers. During the test, professionals often change correct answers because they are overthinking it, or it's nerves, or most importantly, there's a lack of confidence. Why is this important? Constantly changing your answers increases the chance of getting it wrong, especially when you went with your first instinct, when you knew that, hey, I believe this is right. Experiment with these actionable tips. Trust your preparation. Again, trust your preparation. Have the confidence in your hours you've invested. Your first answer is usually the product of hard work. Next point, change an answer only if you're 100% certain. Only changes a response if you reread the question and have a aha moment where you realize you misinterpreted or you recall a specific fact that proves your first choice is wrong. And the last final one, limit your review. Do one quick pass through on your mark for review question. Avoid endlessly cycling through all the questions as this only fuels anxiety and self-doubt. Point number four, misunderstanding question structures. PMI questions are often long, they're layered, and sometimes can have with the CAPM scenario base, but many fail because they don't understand what is actually being asked. Why is this important? Missing keywords like best, first, or most likely leads to picking an answer that is technically correct, but that is not what PMI wants. Experiment with these actionable tips. Read the last sentence first. This often contains the core question. Understanding the question before reading the scenario helps you focus on relevant details. Next point, identify and highlight it keywords. Train yourself to spot crucial keywords and qualifiers in the question that define what is actually being asked by PMI. And the last and final one, use process of elimination. Instead of searching for the right answer, actively look to eliminate the three wrong answers. This dramatically increases your odds of selecting the correct one. Point number five, letting test anxiety win. Again, letting test anxiety win. If I can be transparent with you, I always battle this when I take a test, but I understand the value of continually to work on it by being prepared. See, even the most prepared professional gets overwhelmed by the time pressure, self-doubt, especially during those tricky questions on exam or exam delays. So why is this important? See, anxiety can cause blanking out, rushing through easy questions, or just freezing up entirely, all which ends up hurting your score. Experiment with these actionable tips. Simulate exam conditions. I cannot say this enough, and I would love to hear what if people will actually take me on this. When I say simulate your exam condition, take multiple full-length time practice exams in a quiet environment to build that mental stamina and make the real exam feel familiar. Next one, practice calming techniques. And weeks before your exam, practice simple deep breathing or mindfulness exercise. Use these techniques if you feel a wave of panic during the test. Last and final one, prepare logistics in advance. I have to laugh right here, and I have to park here parenthetically if you don't mind. I remember when I was taking my test and I didn't do this. I was like, oh, well, it won't be no problem. You know, I know how to get there. Just punch it in the GPS. Well, I didn't account for traffic. I didn't account for potentially they may be doing construction and it may take me longer to get there. I say all that to say, know exactly how to get to the test center, where you're going to park, and what you're allowed to bring. Eliminating these small day stressors, it frees up your mental energy for the exam itself. Point number six, getting bogged down in ITTOs. What are ITTOs? Inputs, tools, and techniques and outputs are overwhelming and detailed, but trying to memorize all of them is not what the CAPM exam is built on. Are they important? Yes. But remember what we discussed in point number two, the exam content outline. This is the driving force behind the CAPM exam. Why is this important? Because we get so caught up in what the ITTOs, the input tools and techniques and outputs, but we don't take the time to understand what is the value there? How are they used in the question? Put it in a real world scenario, and how is PMI looking for it in a real world scenario? Experiment with these actionable tips. Focus on the story. trace the main project documents, like the project charter, the WBS, the risk register, you kind of go where I'm saying, as they flow through the project lifecycle, understand how an output from one becomes an input for another. Next point, group and conquer. Group common tools and techniques together. For instance, learn all the data gathering techniques like brainstorming, interviews as a set rather than memorizing them for each individual process. And the last and final one, I beg of you, if you don't do anything from me, understand, don't just memorize. For key ITTOs, ask yourself, why is this input essential here? Or why does this tool actually help me accomplish this in this particular process? Point number seven, poor time management during the exam. Candidates often get stuck on difficult questions early on, burning through precious minutes. This creates a panic-inducing rush in the final hour, leading to careless mistakes on easier questions at the end. Why is this important? Because the CAPM gives you 180 minutes to answer 150 questions, which is an average about 72 seconds per question, or basically what is equivalent to 1.2 minutes. Experiment with these actionable tips. Implement a mark and move on strategy. If a question is taking you longer than 90 seconds, make your best educated guess, mark it for review, and move on. You can always return later if you have time. The next one, pace yourself with time checks, but don't get too focused on the time because you'll end up losing your focus. And the last and final one, practice time management ahead of time. This, out of all of the experimental actionable tips I said about this particular one, this one is key because you can do this during your mock exam. You should be practicing how much time you're spending on questions. It should get to the point where you shouldn't even have to look at the clock too much because you've done the practice on answering questions efficiently and effectively. Point number eight, studying without a plan. Professionals often fit in study time around work, family, leading to inconsistency. Why is this important? Without a structured plan, it's hard to build momentum or know when you're truly ready. Experiment with these actionable tips. Create a detailed schedule. Block specific, non-negotiable study times in your calendar. For example, Tuesdays and Thursdays, between 7 and 9 p.m., I'm studying scope management. You get where I'm going. Break it down. Divide your study plan by knowledge areas or process groups, assigning deadlines for completing each section for taking the practice exams. And the last and final one, track your progress. Use a simple spreadsheet or checklist to mark off completed topics. This provides a sense of accomplishments and clearly shows what's left over to cover. Well, family, if you made it this far, first of all, I truly appreciate you. So let's bring this all together for your journey of the CAPM certification, because it's just not another task to check off. It's your first and most important project. You are a project manager. Your study schedule is your project management schedule. The exam date is a non-negotiable deadline. And the pitfalls we've discussed today are the risks you must now manage. Now, as I close, I challenge you on the following. Don't leave here today with only notes. Leave with a decision. You know, we talk about choices and decision. Today's about decision, a decision to open your calendar tonight and block out that first study session. Next one, a decision to download the exam content outline tomorrow morning on PMI's website. And the last and final one, a decision to treat this goal with a professional discipline and because you demand success. I'll be honest with you, family. The CAPM is not just a test. It's your launch pad. Let's make sure you take off. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.